Let it be done for your glory. Let it be done for your glory. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, somebody go ahead and give God some praise and believe Him for a miracle today. Oh, come on, if you believe God for a miracle, go ahead and give Him some praise. Praise Him like the miracle has already taken. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Look at somebody and tell them, I serve a miracle working God. I serve a miracle working God. Amen, amen, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 20. 2 Samuel chapter 20, beginning at verse 9. I'm going to dig into the Old Testament here this morning, so bear with me. It'll take us a little bit to lay a foundation, but we're going somewhere in Jesus' name. 2 Samuel chapter 20, beginning at verse 9. It says, And Joab said to Amasa, Art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib, and shed out his bowels to the ground, and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And one of Joab's men stood by him and said, He that favoreth Joab, and he that is for David, let him go after Joab. And Amasa wallowed in blood in the midst of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa out of the highway into the field and cast cloth upon him. And when he saw that everyone that came by him stood still, when he was removed out of the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue after Sheba, the son of Bichri. Amen. I want to preach to you with the help of the Lord today. Drag it off the road. Drag it off the road. Amen. I wonder if you can lift a hand toward heaven as we pray together right now in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for your presence. So thankful for your anointing that we feel in this house right now. I pray, Lord God, that your word would go forth, that it would speak and it would minister to every person under the sound of my voice. I pray, Lord God, that a supernatural work would transpire in the name of Jesus, that you would be uplifted, that you'd be glorified, God, that we could press on and persevere in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Somebody go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Before you're seated, look at somebody and tell them, just drag it off the road. Come on. Let me set the premise for what has taken place here. David is reigning king of Israel, and he has a son, Absalom. Absalom, in an act of rebellion, determines to wage war against his father, David, and attempts to acquire the throne. In the heat of this battle, Absalom is racing through the woods, and his long hair is caught up in the branches of a tree. And Joab finds Absalom in this predicament, and he kills him. Yes. When David hears the news of his son's death, understand, this was the son that was waging war against him. This was the son that had developed a rebellion against his own father. When David hears the news of his son's death, he is grieved with the pain of his death. He is upset. He is distraught. Now watch what happens when David hears this. He takes Joab, the one that kills his son. He takes Joab. Joab, the one who was in good spirit trying to stop the rebellion, the one that was trying to stop what was coming up against David. He takes Joab out of his position as captain of the king's army. He demotes him. He sets him down. He says, no longer will you be the captain of my army. And then, as if to add insult to injury, David, since he didn't quite understand what was going on, Joab, he sets there aside, but another person needs to take his position. So David takes Amasa. Amasa, he is the one, the captain of the army of Absalom's rebellion. You still following me? You still with me here? So David, he takes Joab and he says, Joab, you're not going to be the captain any longer. And he takes the captain of the army that was leading the rebellion against him. And he says, come on over here. I want to make you captain of my army. So David takes him and appoints him captain of his army. Now in the midst of this, there is another man by the name of Sheba. Sheba, the scripture says, blows a trumpet and he begins to encourage men to follow no longer after David, but he begins to form another rebellion. You understand that the spirit of rebellion is contagious. It wants to recruit. It wants to pull more people. It wants to drag you to the side of the road and kill you. And so Sheba, he gathers and he announces and he says, why would you follow David? David isn't on your side. David really isn't one of us. And he creates another rebellion. And David, when he hears about this, he calls the new captain of the army, Amasa, his new captain. And he says, go take care of these rebels. 2 Samuel 20 and 5, it says, so Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he tarried longer than the set time which was appointed to him. So Joab, the old captain, he's looking around. He's hearing this. He's hearing people are trying to come up against David again. And so he gathers some men together. He gathers his brethren and he gets his sword and his shield. And he says, you know what? If that good for nothing man isn't going to take care of business, I'm going to take care of business right here and right now. And on the way down, they run into, you understand that he is running down there to take care of Sheba. He's going to quench this rebellion. And so he runs down to where the camp is. And we see a confrontation takes place. We see Joab stands face to face with Amasa. Joab, the old captain, is standing in front of Amasa, the new captain. You can just imagine, you could probably cut the tension in the air with a knife. And they stood there looking at one another, and a good fight was about to take place. And it was like a school time brawl. They're standing there, but Joab, he walks up with a hand of compassion, as culturally was expected. He goes to greet him and he grabs him by the beard and he goes to kiss him. Amen. That's why I don't grow any beard. Amen. It might have been custom back then, but I'll tell you what. Brother, you come to me and try to greet me with a holy kiss, we're going to have a fight. Amen. I've been to a church like that before. That they really took that greet ye one another with a holy kiss. They took it literally. I remember I was sitting there. It was a church up in Ohio. And if you're from Ohio, God bless you. I'm from Ohio too. Amen. If you're not, we'll pray for you in Jesus' name. But there I was. I was at this church. And the service was over. Everybody was fellowshipping. And I looked and someone came up to the pastor. Pastor, I'm leaving now. Kissed him. I'm not talking a little peck on the cheek, but right there. Yeah, that's what I said. Whoa. Yeah, I thought, well, maybe it's family or something like that. And a few moments later, another person came up. And I'm sitting there next to the pastor. I'm just watching this take place. And pastor, I'm leaving now. So, whoa. So I stopped. I looked around. I saw people. They would shake hands. They would greet each other. And they would hug and lip-to-lip kiss. I said, oh, boy, what's going on here? So as I'm leaving, Pastor Gator, we're so glad to have you here. Shakes my hand, and he starts pulling me close. I kind of went like this. I said, you're not getting me, man. Hey, man, I'll hug you, I'll pat you on the back, but we ain't greeting one another with a holy kiss. I'm not going there. But this was, it was custom in the Middle East. That's why this scripture that talks about it, even times you go over to Europe and the Middle East, they still kiss each other quickly. But this is what happened. Joab comes to Amasa, places his hand around him, grabs a hold of that beard and greets him. He says, how you doing? How's your health? How's everything going? You see, you need to watch out. Just because someone communicates a conversation of concern in your direction, it doesn't really mean they care about you. Amen. Sometimes people, they will pat you on the back with one hand, but they'll stab you in the back with the other hand. Amen. They'll kiss you on the cheek, but they'll slap you on the other cheek. Amen. Just because somebody says, how are you doing? They're wanting to hear things really aren't going good at all. Amen. They want to hear that you're going through problems, and they'll rejoice about that. They want to hear that you're going through pain. They want to hear that things are messed up. They're really not concerned about how you're doing. Amen. That's why the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. So every time the adversary comes knocking on your door and asks you, how are you doing? That's when you need to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ and say, I have power in the name of Jesus. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. I'm delivered in the name of Jesus. I've been set free in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. My voice might say one thing, but I want to tell you, I am blessed. I am healed. I am delivered. I have been set free. Amen. I've been liberated. I have been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. My situation might say something else, but rest assured that God is on my side. And if God is for me, it doesn't matter if the whole world is against me. So Joab, the old captain, stands in front of him. They greet one another. And then he pulls out that sword and thrusts it through his ribs. The scripture is so illustrated, it's so detailed, that it says that his bowels begin to pour out on the ground. It even says this, it didn't take a second slash of the sword, but it was all done in just one thrust of the sword. He fell down onto the ground. And so as the army that was following Joab, as they walked along following him, they came up to this gory, horrific scene, and they stopped and they looked at it. And the army stopped moving forward because of what had taken place here. It was almost, you could kind of imagine it like this. You've been driving down I-75 and there is an accident. The accident doesn't even have to be out on the highway. The accident can be pulled over on the side of the road, and people are, as they drive by that accident, they stop and they're just looking. What's
What's going on?
It'll traffic will slow down from 70 miles per hour to 30 miles per hour because of not of an accident that is blocking the road, but an accident that is on the side. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you ever find yourself just driving down the road and you see, wow, traffic is really backed up. There must be a really bad accident up here. You know, it must be horrific. And then when you get up to the accident, it's somebody on the side of the road changing their tire. Nothing else. Is that all? Is there something else? Am I missing something? Because people will stop and look at other people in their pain. There are people that is all that they do. That is the thing that occupies their life. They want to find the people in pain. They want to rejoice at somebody's falling. They want to look at other people's problems, and they drive down the road of life looking for other people's problems, looking for other people's hang-ups, looking for other people's troubles, and they stop. Can I tell you that you can never move forward in Jesus Christ if you're always busy looking at other people's problems? Amen. There are plenty of people that have a whole lot of problems. There's people that have hang-ups and addictions. There's people that have troubles in their families, troubles in relationships. But it is not our responsibility to point out the problems of other people. It is our responsibility to say, Lord, I've got problems. Lord, I have issues. Lord, I have things that you need to work on in my life. Lord, I need you to fix me. And so as this army would walk by, they would see this dead man laying on the ground. And instead of progressing and moving forward, they would look there and they would just kind of gleam at him. And I'm sure all kinds of thoughts would begin to race through their mind. Oh, this is horrible. You have to understand that this was an army, not just of 100 or so, but this was an army of tens of thousands. So some of the people that saw the incident happen, they knew what was going on. But there was a crowd down, back off in the distance. They didn't know what happened. They saw that man as once their leader, as a hero, as someone that was elevated in their eyes. But now he is laying on the ground and he is dead. And they stopped there. I'm sure a tear would swell up in their eye. And they would stop and they would just look at him. How could this happen? What is going on here? And the army stopped moving forward. So after this going on for a certain amount of time, one of the individuals looked behind him and he saw how the army was not moving forward, but it was stopping there in their tracks and looking at this dead man. And so he went over to the dead man, pulled him off the side of the road, and didn't stop there. Because you know what? Some of you, you'll stop if you can see it even on the side of the road. But he didn't stop there. He pulled it off on the side of the road, and he took a cloth and he covered it up. And he says, you know what? It's over. It's done with. We need to march on in the name of Jesus Christ. There are some of you that deal with the same thing week after week. You're dealing with problems that happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know what I need to tell you to do? Just drag it off the road. Pull it over on the side of the road. Cover it up. Put it in the hands of Jesus Christ and say, it might have happened, but I'm moving on in the name of Jesus. I might have got hurt. I might have been broke, busted in the stomach, but I'm pulling it over on the side of the road and I'm placing it in the hands of God. I would never want to minimize anybody's pain. I would never want to minimize the trouble, the struggle, the pain, the turmoil that you've been through. There's people here under the sound of my voice. If we would reach back into your childhood, you could point to a place that horrific abuse took place in your family. We can reach back 10 years and you went through a devastating divorce. You lost your house. You lost your car. You lost your family. You lost everything. We can reach back to some of your lives a few years ago and you were walking around through prison floors. Amen. We can go back to some people. You made mistakes. You've done some things that you regret. You know what you need to do? I don't care if it was 5 years. back it over to the side of the road. He wants to go over there, uncover it, drag it back out here and say, remember what you did? Remember what happened? Remember what you went through? Remember what took place? And he wants to drag it out on the road in front of you one more time. Can I tell you that every time the devil tries to remind you of your past, that's when you need to stand up in the name of Jesus Christ and remind him of his future. Amen. He's already defeated enemy. Amen. He's already been cast down. Amen. He's already been chained up. Amen. You're on the winning side in the name of Jesus. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. You've got the King of Kings on your side. You can make it in Jesus' name. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to somebody here in this house. Talking to somebody, carry the pain of that problem day in and day out. You carry that hurt with you each and every day. Your life, the steps that you take, it is steps of a person that has went through pain, not of a person that has been delivered. You're walking in a way, you are living in a way that the pain is still there with you. Amen. Your life, who you are, your identity, it has now become identified by this problem that you have. Every time you have an opportunity, you are telling people about the pain that you went through. When I was a child, all of this, and you know what? I believe there's power in a testimony that God has brought you through. Amen. But telling people about your problem and never coming to a point of victory when you tell them about your problem tells me that you are still dealing with that problem. Amen. Amen. It's all right to say, amen, I was lost, I was down, I was on drugs, I had this happen to me. But God, who is rich in his grace and mercy, he set me free. But if all your conversation is when I was 10 years old, my mama did this to me, my daddy did this to me, amen, my kids did this to me, amen, I've got this to deal with, that to deal with. Can I tell you, don't make your problems big. Make your God bigger than every problem that you've ever been through. Oh, I just preach a little bit now. Some people, their identity is wrapped up in their problem. When they step into a room, you know that you're going to hear about their problems. They go to work, and people are standing by the water cooler, and they see that brother coming. They see that sister coming, and, oh, here she comes. Let's go back to our cubicle. Let's go back to work. You know who I'm talking about. Because you know it's going to be, oh, I just went through this. I can't believe this. So much pain, so much trouble. Amen. I mean, you know that if they call you, they're going to tell you how bad life is, not how good their God is. You see, our God is bigger than every problem. Our God is bigger than every pain. Our God is bigger than your past. Our God is bigger than your failures. Our God is bigger than your troubles and turmoils. God is bigger than your valley. God is bigger than your storm. God is bigger than your sickness. God is bigger than your financial adversity. God is bigger than the problems in your marriage. God is bigger than the trouble your children are going through. Our God is able to do all things. He's got all power. He sits on the throne. He reigns forevermore. Amen. You know what you need to do when you find yourself in the midst of that problem, in the midst of that pain? You just need to cry out the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to worship the this house. I know that they don't mind me sharing it with you, but you know why? Brother Julian, he was locked up behind bars for 5 years, something like that. He was a thief, he was a robber, and he was a cane banger, but one day Kyle reached down into that prison. He opened the prison door, he set him free, and he delivered him, and that's why he praises the way that he praises God. That's why he worships the way that he worships God. I look around here. I see people like Sister Mary. Every now and then when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of her, she don't mind me doing this. And I tell you why. I get excited about it. I worship God with her because I know that that dance that she has, I've been through a lot. I've been through some pain. I've been through some trouble. But this one thing, devil, I'm still going to praise the name of my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you don't mind me saying this, Sister Mary, but some people need to get a Sister Mary praise. That says, I might be going through trouble. I got problems in the home. I got problems in all kinds of areas in my life. But that's not going to stop me from praising my God. Hallelujah. 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 So you just got to drag it to the side of the road. Just drag it to the side of the road. Just cover it up in the name of Jesus. Let it not be a trial, but let it be a trophy. Yes. That, the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking to somebody right now. Your pain becomes a testimony when you no longer identify it as a trial, but you identify it as a trophy. Not glorifying the pain that I've been through or the pain that I'm going through, but I'm glorifying the deliverance that I have found in that problem. I am glorifying the God that when it seems like there was no way, He made a way. He made a way. Come on, He made a way. He made a way. He brought you out. He set you free. He delivered you. He changed you. He made you a new creature. He broke the addiction. He broke the chains. He caused the wall to come crumbling down. Jesus, He did it. Hallelujah. I know if He did it for me, He can do it for anybody. I know if He did it for me, He can do it for anybody. Hallelujah. 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 He can do it. He can do it. Why don't you lift that hand for heaven right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 I've had people pat me on the back, but I'm just going to drag it to the side of the road. I've had people hurt me, but I'm going to drag it to the side of the road. I've been beaten, I've been smitten, I've been stricken, I've been afflicted, but I'm going to drag it to the side of the road. I'm going to place it under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to release forgiveness for them in the name of Jesus. I'm going to release freedom in the name of Jesus. I'm going to release that pain that I've been holding on to in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to hold on to cursing, but I'm going to release blessings in the name of Jesus. 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 I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul who was there. He was shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked. How many can just lift a hand and say, I've been shipwrecked before? Oh, come on, I've been shipwrecked before. I've been down there at the bottom. I feel like I'm drowning. Shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked. But he comes to that island there. He could have sat around and talked to the people about how bad the storm was out there. He could have talked to the people about how messed up I got in the storm. But you know what he did? The scripture says this.
called the Simon to build a fire. Yes.
All right, Jim, you help me preach.
Allow the pains of the past to hinder praise God. I can use the praise God. Because those pains keep moving. Some of you can't worship God. Some of you are not praying like you used to be praying because something painful has happened in your life. Just pull it to the side of the road. Cover it up in the name of Jesus. Say, you know what? I'm going to march on. Saints of God, are you ready to march on? Saints of God, are you ready to move forward? Saints of God, are you ready to press on? Is there anybody here under the sound of my voice? You're ready to persevere. You had a death in your family. You're just not walking right. Things that happen. You had somebody hurt you. You're just not walking right. Things that happen. You had people let you down. You're not walking right. Things that happen. Had a storm come blowing your direction, you just pull it to the side of the road. Put it in the hands of the Master. Give it to God. Let God take care of it. Let God cover you. Let God comfort you. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. He's able. I wonder all across this house if you would just extend that hand toward heaven. Let's begin to entertain the presence of God that is here. You're looking, you're hungry, you're ready to march on, you're ready to move on, you're ready to press on, you're ready to persevere, you're ready to stand up and march with a brand new anointing. Fight with a brand new anointing. Praise and worship God with a brand new anointing. If there's a soldier here in this house that is ready to march on, I'm inviting you, I'm imploring you, I'm encouraging you to walk out of that seat right now, to march you down to this altar and say, I'm dragging some things to the side of the road and I'm going to worship God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my I'm going to praise God in a way that is not dictated by my circumstance or my situation. I'm going to worship God regardless of my worry. I'm going to praise God in spite of my pain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just drag it to the side of the road. Just drag it to the side of the road. Oh, come on, I know there's another person here. You're ready to just drag some things to the side of the road and say, Lord God, I'm placing it in your hands. I'm placing it in your hands. I'm leaving it up to you, God. You can work it out. I need some prayer warriors. I need some intercessors. I need some praise warriors, some worship warriors to gather around some brothers and sisters. Stand with them shoulder to shoulder. Say, I'm going to pray with you. I'm here with you. When you feel like you don't have anybody on your side, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I'm trusting in you, God. You are my friend. You will never leave me nor forsake me. Your presence is closer than a brother. Lord, he's with you always. Even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. 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 I wonder if there's anybody else. Anybody else here in this house? Anybody else here in this house? Ready to just step out of your seat and place some things in God's hands today. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. We're all here. We need to place some things in God's hands here today.